Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. If you've already been doing that, if you've been listening, that means you're a highly intelligent individual. And if you just tuned in, well, look what you got to look forward to. Philippa Games is our guest and our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust. She is one of our top internet experts. She is the cyber speaker, and she's our good friend. Philippa, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Good to be here.
You know, Philippa, you've talked to us in the past about the emotional side of websites, creating what you call emotionally connected websites. I just got through with an interview with a guy who talked about the emotional side of retirement. The point he was making is that, you know, yeah, you need to plan for your finances and all that, but you also need to be prepared for it emotionally. Is this emotion thing taking over our marketplace? What's going on?
Well, I think it's maybe we're in a phase where people are really realizing that people make decisions emotionally, not intellectually. And even if you make what you think is a rational decision, what actually happens is that your sort of primitive brain and your gut instincts kick in, and then you use your rational thinking to justify what your instincts already want to do. And as we realize this, I think then it becomes more important to tailor our messages and the way that we communicate with customers to take that into account. You know, what's interesting, Jim, I just came back from the UK. I was over there for the holidays with my family.
Mm-hmm. That's where you got the accent while you were gone, right?
That's right. And it was very interesting. I had a meeting over there with a group called Tech International. And, you know, we're just talking.
We know those guys, the executive.
Right, I'm a speaker. And this is executive roundtable,
right,
both in this country and in other countries. And we met to find out if what I do here would be applicable in the UK. And what was very interesting was one of the first things they said to me was, we're interested in the emotional component of branding and marketing. So it's not just the US.
Well, you know, when you talk about the emotional side, being so in touch with your emotional side, that for guys, that's a little worrisome. We always think we have to be careful not to get too emotional.
But there are emotions that happen to you that are not ones that you would necessarily consider touchy-feely. When I talk about emotionally connected websites, I also talk about remembering not to create negative emotions. So if you're a guy, one of the things that you know for sure is that you've been to websites that frustrate you or confuse you.
Right, or have a lot of pink on it.
Right.
That's negative. That's negative emotion for me.
Negative for
yeah,
a guy.
So, right.
Well, at some levels, right. So it's not. It's both about creating the appropriate emotion, which for you know might be more about the excitement and the motivation and the interest, as well as not creating negative emotions. And maybe we're not always. We're not. If we get frustrated, we're not sitting thinking, I'm feeling terribly, terribly emotional here. We're just annoyed. Right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But still, annoying. Being annoyed is kind of an emotion, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is we can concentrate on the feeling as opposed to worrying about the fact that this is emotional marketing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you talk, now you're doing quite a bit of talking to, doing a lot of speaking, I should say, to executives, to business owners out there about the way they connect online. What are you telling them?
There's a program that I have at executive levels, but this is really for anybody who owns a business, and it's about the issues that they should consider as a company owner or business owner. Whether or not they're the ones that administer the answers isn't really important, but that somebody in their business should know. And I have a group of about seven issues or concerns that I go through with them, and we could review those briefly.
Let's do it.
So one of the most important, especially with your website, is does your website present an appropriate image of your company, which is all about the marketing and the branding. But, you know, it's very interesting. If you look at some websites, look at Nordstrom's website, for instance. And Nordstrom Do you have Nordstrom over there?
We have Nordstroms all over the place.
Okay, so if you look at Nordstrom in the real world, their branding, their image they want you to think about is high level, right? High quality, high customer service, high touch. And if you look at their website, a lot of the time, their website is much more of a catalog function, and it tends to be much lower pricing. And a lot of people look at it, and to be honest, they say, well, this could be Kmart, this could be Target.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, obviously Nordstrom have a strategy going on here, which makes sense to them. But from a wider image point of view, it's always struck me as interesting that they would do something online which is so different from their real-world image.
Mm-hmm. So, and you see a disconnect there.
Right. And I think for smaller businesses that may be less well-known, I do believe that it's important to have an image that's consistent throughout
And compatible. And when we come back, I'm going to get you to tell us how to do that. And we will right after these messages. Tony Till will be right back with Philippa Gaines. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you can. Use it to your advantage. It's free. Everything there is free. All of the archives, thousands of articles, hundreds and hundreds of Brain Trust members, lots of help, lots of tips and best practices and perspectives and encouragement and motivation and things you can. In fact, we'll even follow you home if you want us to. If you want to subscribe to my free newsletter, we'll follow you home and. A little gift for you on Sunday afternoon in the newsletter by email, and if you can't, if that's not enough, we've got a blog that you can subscribe to. You can check it out on your own every day from the website or at jimsblog.biz. But you can also we'll follow you home with it every Monday through Friday if you want to subscribe. Send that to you by Real Simple Syndication RSS, which you can find all about. And including the technology, which is free, right there on the homepage, right there at our page, I should say. So I hope you'll check that out and use all that to your advantage. We've designed it just for you. And you can. And if you want to say thanks to anybody for making it for free, you can thank our great partners, our sponsors. Philippa Games is, you can also thank people like Philippa Games, our Brain Trust members, who spend so much time with us over the years. Philippa has been with us now for several years and has to support all the things that we do. And Philippa, on behalf of my audience, we thank you for that.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And give us your website, please.
It's cyberspeaker.com, C-Y-B-E-R, and then speaker, which is all one word, .com. And on my website as well, there's a ton of free articles, resources, ideas about web strategy and web marketing.
And by the way, folks, Cyber and Speaker both have R's on the end. And Philippa, we're talking about these websites and the emotional part of it. And you were telling us about some of these steps. I think you had 7 points
mm-hmm.
that you've been talking to your executives about, the business owners and executives about how to connect with customers online. And what you were saying when we took the break was that you think it's a mistake to not have your website be compatible and consistent with your traditional business.
And as I said, I think especially for a smaller business, it's not as well known. I mean, I guess Nordstrom can do it because they have a strategy, and we already know who they
maybe
are.
Maybe not.
Well,
who knows?
It's been a long time that they've been doing this. So
you think they're going to get away with it, huh, Philippa? But I agree with you. I don't think we can. We don't have that kind of brand power, do we?
Right. And I think people get confused, and if they don't see something that matches their expectations, it's so easy on the web to go someplace else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Okay, what's another example?
One of the other examples is really thinking about who comes to your website and what they need, because often people don't think that through enough, and there are audiences perhaps online that you haven't thought about. For instance, media. If you're doing a public relations campaign, which if you're not, you should be thinking about if you promote your business, mm-hmm. then media reporters are very much online looking for materials to support their stories and people to interview and so forth.
That's right.
And having a for them, because you know they're not going to bother to go around your site and figure it out. If they don't find exactly what they need very quickly, they'll go somewhere else.
One of the things we can learn, Philippa, and this is what you're talking about, if folks, when you go to a big corporation's website, when you noodle around on these sites, and one of the things I know you've already seen is a link that says press or press releases or media, or it'll have some reference to that. And as you say, Philippa, it's a whole set where the press can go and can, without even making a phone call, can get an awful lot of information about the company. And that's a good thing. That'd be a good thing for a small business owner to do.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely. Yep.
And you might have to have somebody to help you develop that. And I understand that. But if you do, get somebody to do it.
That's
and
right.
I think somebody who could help with that. Philippa, do you know anybody who could help with that?
Well, like I said, if you check out my website, you'll
that's what you do. It's one of the things you do. No, seriously, folks, I'm having a little fun with Philip. She's a good friend, and she knows who I am. And but I do encourage you, if you need help with that, Philip will be glad to help. All right, give us another example.
Another example is, do you have ways that you can tailor your products and services to an online audience that might be different from what you're doing in the real world? So, for instance, if you have any kind of expertise, and especially if you've got a newsletter, you've got articles, you've got content on your site, which, of course, is great for search engines, mm-hmm. then another thing that you can do with that is consider maybe bundling some little e-books or some kind of for sale content online for people who might not be traditional buyers of your major business.
Mm-hmm.
But a non-profit or an association, I work with a lot of those, you know, they tend to send out a lot of pamphlets, a lot of very small booklets, which cost a lot to put together, print, mail out, and so on. And
you know, another thing,
content for them is a great option.
Another thing, you're talking about content, one of the things I encourage small business owners to do is to become members of their national trade group, their industry's trade group. And a lot of those groups have done research on the industry, or they continually put out information about the industry and about how to use the products and the services of that industry, and they will allow a member to replicate that kind of that information and put it on their websites for their customers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a lot of built-in content right there for the $159 a year you pay to join it.
Right, absolutely.
A lot of good stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, give us one more quick one, and we'll go to a break.
Thinking about what you're doing to make sure that your ongoing customers get good service on your website, as well as thinking about the obvious, which is getting new business.
Is that two different activities?
Not necessarily.
All right. When we come back, I'm going to get you to explain that to us right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Philippa Games is our guest. Stay with us.
In the air.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Philippa Games, and she's helping us understand some of the more sophisticated elements of having a successful website. And Philippa travels all over the world talking to organizations about how to do this, and we're fortunate to have her perspectives available to us on a regular basis, as often as we want. She's always done a good job and has always been very available to us. Philippa, you were telling us you were giving us some more of your tips about what you recommend for these websites, and you had one more that you were about to tell us.
Well, we just talked very briefly about reminding ourselves about existing customers as
right.
opposed
the
new
difference
customers.
The difference between the two, and I asked you is there a difference there? Are those two different activities, or are they the same thing?
Well, I think they definitely overlap. But obviously, for returning customers, you can think about things like personalization and ways to make it easier for them to interact with you, because you already know something about them. And you already want to know more about their needs and their preferences, so you can do that more automatically.
What about e-customer service, like sending them reminders of what's available if they've already opted in, you know, or what about things like giving them an update on their order and things like that?
Right, and integrating what you do in the real world with what you do online. So, for instance, you know, service reminders maybe for your car, combined maybe with a coupon to, you know, to get something off of the service to make sure they do it at your dealership. Any kind of discounts or offers that bring them into either your physical business or back to the web.
Well, exactly, and as you say, those they not only overlap new customers and old customers, but they overlap online customers and traditional customers too, don't they?
That's right. Yeah, like, and it's very important to remember to integrate. That's another one, actually, of the issues that I talk about is really making sure that your website really integrates with your whole business, and that everybody who's strategizing and making decisions for the business is taking the web into account.
Do you see that as something that's a mistake that people make a lot? They act like they're two different worlds.
Well, you know, it's interesting, especially if you look at some of the more structured, like the nonprofit or association environment, where they talk about, you know, where does the budget fit for this? Where does this sit? Because they need to put it in a box. And the problem with putting it in a box is that then other people tend to not take so much notice of it.
Yeah, I wonder, that's an interesting thing to observe, isn't it, when the website becomes not so much just a toy, and it actually becomes as important as the warehouse.
Yeah, and it has so much impact on everything that you do.
Whenever a company starts budgeting for their web activity, for their online strategy, that's when you know they're serious about what they're doing online, isn't it?
That's right. But that's what I'm saying. It needs to. So then, for instance, there's a marketing budget for that, which needs to relate to the marketing budget that you have for other activities. That's what I'm saying. You really need to make sure that everything's coordinated.
All right. What's another tip?
One of the others is thinking about not only sales, marketing, customer service, all the outbound stuff, but thinking about the inbound stuff or the internal stuff. So because you can also use your website for internal management and not forgetting that. So if you have a board, an advisory board, or a board of directors, for instance, you can have an intranet area for them. That's simply a part of the website that's password protected. And use that for documents they need to share, discussions they need to have. And similarly, you can do that for employees. So, you know, it's a great tool if you have a business where, for instance, you have a lot of employees out in the field a lot, not coming into a central place. For things like mentoring or access to manuals or company information or, you know, sick leave, vacation, stuff like that.
You could even create that kind of thing for a customer, can't you?
That's right.
Give them their own little, their own page. Now, talk about making a customer connected to you and not, you know, and wanting to stay with you. That's a great way to do it, isn't it?
Right.
And this is not an expensive, highly complicated thing to do either, is it?
Well, it's basically, I mean, people talk about intranets like they're something mysterious, but basically it's simply another part of the website.
Right. No, absolutely.
And the final thing I talk about is making sure you understand the ROI on the site, which you and I have talked about a lot before. But, you know, those traffic reports that you get that ultimately really tell you about what's going on.
Absolutely. And yeah, you've spent a lot of time. And folks, if you would like to know more about that, you can go back and listen to some of the archives that Philippa has given us over the years, talking about the ROI of a website. Philippa, thank you for being here. Good job today. It's always a pleasure. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim.
Philippa Games, that's cyberspeaker.com. Check her website out when you get a chance. And if you need any help with any of this, she'll be glad to do that. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.